It's an honor to be up here, and Steve has given me 2 minutes, so be fast when if I call your name. But he knows better than I'm going to be more than 2 minutes, and everyone else knows I'm going to be more than 2 minutes. So it's a very honor for me to present this award today. And the Women of the Church Honorary Life Members recognition is given yearly to a woman in our church in thanks for all she has done for the church and women's projects. The pen itself tells the story. The hands on the pen represents a woman who seeks to build an inclusive community of Presbyterian women. The leaf represents the growth in her response to Jesus Christ as she grows in her faith. The dove indicates her work toward peace in our lives here and in the world. The center of the pen is a cross, which represents the forgiveness of our sins and the freedom to live our lives in Christ. The overall butterfly design symbolizes the newness we have in Christ. There are so many hardworking, caring women, and we thank all of you. And my daughter, I told her, I said, well, I don't guess I'm getting it since I'm since I'm presenting it, you know. There it goes down another year, and I'm going to be, you know. He's going to let you know how old I'll be in doing kindergarten, I know. But anyway, I'm just so pleased to, this year, we're honoring a woman, Katie Joy. Katie was born in Connecticut, moved to Indiana, Greensboro, North Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, moved to Indiana, and back to North Carolina and attended Guilford College. There she majored in elementary education and married a fellow student, Bill Joy. They have two children, Kit, married to John Shields, and David Joy, married to Donna Joy. 6 grandchildren, Morgan, Megan, Hannah, Davis, Olivia, and Haverly. After Katie moved to Graham in 1970, they joined our church in 1971, and she was active from the get-go. A Vespers leader in 1970-74. Circle member, circle leader, Bible leader, Vice President of the WOC in 84 to 85, President 85 to 86, served on the Nominating Committee in 86-87, Stewardship Committee, Life Membership Committee, 4 different times. Katie's been busy. Moderator of the Women of the Church in 2013. She delivers Meals on Wheels, chairs the Circle of Concern, and started the Cast Stone Knitters Group that provides knitted items to the police, hospital, Salvation Army, shut-ins, and many more. And all of you know how much the Cast Stone Knitters have meant to us in the church recently. So that is really doing a wonderful job, Katie. And she's done all this while teaching school, second grade, for over 33 years. Still substituting to this day, and was a loyal Graham Red Devil supporter through all the years that Bill coached football. There are so many things that just get done that Katie does. It was joy and gratitude that we present Katie Joy with our honorary life membership. This is the pen. It can be worn as through a necklace or on the pen. Of course, today I'm using the pen to put it on. And Katie, it's just a joy for me to be honored to be able to give it to you. So, and it's well deserved. I'm so excited about this because Katie's one of my best friends here at Emma. We do a lot together. It's just an honor for me to be able to do this. Thank you. He gave me 2 minutes. That's it.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and I say, Katie, you also have. I have, this is another chance. This year we're given 2 life memberships, and this, we would like to honor another of our steps. This woman, special, Wanda Newland. It's an honor for me to do this since she's kind of kin to me. Wanda Newland married into our church family in 1968. She left her beloved home church in Mebane, First Baptist Church, and we'll be celebrating her 50th wedding anniversary on June the 23rd to Clark Newland. Wanda Gale, as mother-in-law Eunice, we all knew Eunice Newland. We know Eunice. She's still living, of course. Liked to call her. She always called her Wanda Gale. Entered the newly built Eastern High in 1962, graduated in 65. She returned to Eastern after college to teach business education classes for 30-plus years. A loyal Eastern Eagle, she and Clark still spend a lot of time supporting their high school. Wanda and Clark have 2 sons who are here, Vance married to Carmen and Chris. They have 5 grandchildren, Cassidy, Samantha, Mason, Cole, and Gina. Once Wanda became a Presbyterian, she joined a circle, and from then on, she has done just about every job in the women of the church, from moderator to historian. Wanda served as a deacon during the transition to a unicameral session. She has served on the long-range planning committee, was a Vespal leader with Faye and Ed Harrington, attended Benny Johnson Sunday School class. She has been a faithful member of our wonderful choir, also ringing with the lovely handbells. Wanda has carried her love of music to our children's ministry and is a faithful leader of Wonderful Wednesday that all the children know how much she does and helps with the Wonderful Wednesday children. There are so many things in our church that Wanda has been part of. We are so happy to honor Wanda with an honorary lifetime membership. Also, Kate and Joy received a certificate that Wanda Newland has been presented an honorary life membership by Kate. Telling me how to pin on them. If you've ever been on a trip with him, he'll tell you what to do the whole time. But in Jerusalem, he failed and I didn't. He's really worried that I'm going to preach after this. You go look at the children back, sir.
Yeah, right.
I'd just like to say I feel very, very humble, and Carolyn mentioned my dear mother-in-law, Eunice Newland, and I'll have to say, since today is Mother's Day, that I think of her. She's a lifelong member of this church. She's still living, but I appreciate her taking me under her wing and introducing me to the women of the church and Graham Presbyterian Church. I love you all. Thank you.
Now, Steve is going to look after the children's after service today, since he made me keep mine in the pulpit one day, in the service one day. Look at him bushing me off.
Let me help you. And now let's prepare to worship. The handbell choir is going to play. It's a lot for Katie and Wanda to receive the award and then have to play, but we put you right back to work around here. So we look forward to hearing you play. Now let me invite you, as you're able, to stand together for the call to worship. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love by keeping my commands." As we worship God today, let us abide in Jesus and remain in his love together. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you now in and through our Savior Jesus Christ, who is everything to us. Lord, we pray that you'd bless us as we worship you from our hearts this day. May our worship be true and sincere, and may you receive it through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely to us. So let us confess our sins together using the prayer you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have spoken to reveal yourself to us. You spoke through your prophets of old, and finally, you spoke your ultimate word through your Son, Jesus. You have spoken, but we have failed to listen. Your word is always true, but we have chosen to believe lies. Forgive us for all the ways in which we listen to the words of others, but neglect the word of the one who loves us most. We pray through the eternal word, Jesus our Savior. Amen. You know what the word gospel means? The word gospel, anybody know what it means? Good news. What is some good news that you've heard lately? Well, if all you ever do is watch TV, then probably about the best news you've heard lately on TV is something like, I just saved $250 by switching to Geico. But come on, we can do better than that. There is the best news that we can possibly find in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel teaches us you are no longer sin's slave. Your chains have been broken. You are free to live in the ways of righteousness. So accept and believe not just good news, but the best news. In Jesus Christ, you are completely forgiven. Amen. The Handbell Choir has another special treat for all of us, but I especially want the children to hear it. So children, you come forward for the children's sermon. We're going to sit and listen to the Handbell Choir and Keith Dodson present Joseph and the Coat of Many Colors.
Long, long ago, in the land of Canaan, lived a farmer named Jacob. Jacob had a very large family. They all helped to farm the land and to take care of the animals. There were 12 sons: Reuben, Simeon, Judah, take my word for it, there were 12 sons. However, Jacob made the mistake of openly favoring one of his younger sons above all the rest. Hmm. Oh, yes. Jacob loved Joseph much more than the other boys. He even gave Joseph a beautiful rainbow-colored coat made from the wool of his finest sheep. When Joseph's brothers saw him wearing his new coat, they became jealous. They felt their father had been unfair to them. They said to one another,
"It's too big for him. It should have been mine. I'm the oldest, but I'm the tallest. I work the hardest. That is a jerk."
Joseph's attitude didn't help the situation. In his brightly colored coat, he stood tall before his brothers and told them the dreams he had had during the night. "In one of my dreams, my grain stalk was standing up. And your grain stalks were bowing down in front of mine." And in another dream, even the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars knelt in my presence. Well, this only made the brothers more jealous and angry. But Reuben, the oldest, said, "Nah, let's just drop him into a pit and scare him a little." And that's exactly what they did. It wasn't long until some of the brothers spotted Ishmaelites traveling in a camel caravan to Egypt. "Here's our chance," they said to one another. "Reuben isn't here to stop us. Let's sell our snooty brother to these people as a slave." Quick as a flash, the deal was done. However, just as the caravan left, Reuben returned. "Where is Joseph?" he asked. Then the brothers realized they still had a problem. True, they had gotten rid of their boastful brother, but now they had to explain it to their father, Jacob. They panicked.
"What are we going to tell Dad? We can't tell him the truth. I know. Let's tear up Joseph's coat and smear it with animal blood and tell Father that Joseph was attacked by a wild animal. Good idea!"
When Jacob heard the news about Joseph, he tore his clothes and mourned for his son. His family tried to comfort him, but Jacob continued to grieve. "Isn't this a sad story? Jacob's mistake of favoring Joseph over his other sons had caused hurt feelings. The brothers reacted to Joseph with the sin of jealousy, and Joseph was just a little too prideful of being his father's favorite son. We can learn a lesson from this story. You see, when people sin against each other and disobey God's law to love one another, then unhappy times are sure to come.
But what happened?
Oh, yes, Joseph. When Joseph arrived in Egypt, he was sold as a slave to Potiphar, captain of the Pharaoh's army. Joseph was all alone now, and his prideful spirit began to change. He cried out to God for help, and God heard him. He blessed Joseph and made him the chief servant in Potiphar's house. Joseph obeyed God and was an honest and trustworthy servant. But then one day, Joseph was thrown into prison for something he didn't even do. Talk about having the blues. Joseph had a choice to make. Would he become angry with God for this unfair treatment, or would he continue to trust God and be obedient? Happily, he made a wise decision. He chose to believe God no matter what happened. Soon, God blessed Joseph and made him the chief servant of the prison. Then, 2 years later, Pharaoh called for Joseph to come before him. He had heard that Joseph could explain his strange dreams. Dreams about 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows. Good corn ears and 7 bad corn on the cobs. Joseph told Pharaoh that this meant there would be 7 years of plenty for Egypt. Then 7 years of famine and great need. Pharaoh was so impressed that he gave Joseph some fine gifts: a ring, a gold chain, beautiful clothes, and a chariot. He also made Joseph governor. The brothers. Well, what about those brothers? When the 7 years of bad famine came, there was no more food in Canaan. So Jacob had to send his sons to Egypt to buy grain. When they arrived there, they went straight to the Pharaoh's governor. The brothers didn't recognize Joseph, but he knew exactly who they were. They bowed down before Joseph and pleaded for food to take back home. Of course, Joseph wanted to help them, but first he had to see if they had repented of their jealousy and evil deeds. So he tested them. He pretended to accuse them of spying. He threatened to enslave Benjamin, the youngest. The brothers became very distressed. At last, Joseph began to weep and told his brothers who he was. Then they all started to cry and hugged each other. The brothers confessed how rotten they had been, and Joseph forgave them. The Pharaoh gave Joseph's family rich farmland in Egypt and all the food they needed to get through the famine. Now they all lived together as a happy family. Everyone was so proud of Joseph. This story should inspire us to live by God's law of love, even in unfair circumstances. You see, although Joseph no longer had a coat of many colors from his earthly father, Jacob, he now had his family and many wonderful blessings from God, his heavenly Father.
Let's thank them for that. I've never heard the story of Joseph quite like that. They did a great job, didn't they? All right. If you are third grade and under, you can head out now to Children's Church or go back to where you were sitting if you would like. And as for the handbell choir, let me say, there were lots of parts where they had to act the part of anger. Some of them, it looked like it was not acting. It's like it came too naturally for them. Look with me now at our scripture lesson today, found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. For those of you visiting with us, we're studying through 1 Peter, looking at a different principle each week. This is our 14th sermon thus far, 14th principle. So look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Listen carefully. This is God's word to us. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you speak, you should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If you serve, you should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. What time is it? Some of you have already noticed the time. Some of you don't care when I start a sermon as long as I finish on time. Well, I'd already planned to say this, but of course you are noticing the time. And notice in the bulletin over the sermon points, I put, when time gets short, things get simplified. I didn't realize when I wrote that was going to be a prophecy. But this sermon is going to be simplified. He starts in this passage by saying, the end of all things is near. What does he mean? Well, we can think in terms of our life, that it's drawing to a close. And that happens more quickly than we realize. Just for example, this past week, last weekend, our daughter Emily graduated from college, and in my office had a picture taken in the sanctuary of her and us as a family on graduation Sunday when she graduated from high school. And we took a picture of us when she graduated from college, and I was replacing those pictures, and I looked at that picture and thought, that was only 4 years ago? There's no way. And then I looked at myself and thought, I've changed so much. I look so much older in those 4 years. What's going to happen 4 years from now? The end of all things is near. Our life draws to a close more quickly than we realize. But then also we can think of the end of all things is near as the return of Jesus and the end of history. And the way the New Testament tells time is actually very simple. It's Jesus' first coming, and then the last days, and then Jesus' second coming. And so there's nothing to prevent Jesus from coming back and the end of all things being near. We don't know when that will be, but we know that it will be the next thing that will happen on God's timetable. So what do we need to do with the time being short? Four simple things that I want to point out to you in these verses. First and foremost, verse 7, be alert so you can pray. Be alert, be sober-minded, don't be filled with anxiety and panic. Stay cool so that you can pray like you ought to. Secondly, in verse 8, be loving so you can forgive. Be loving so you can forgive. He says, love each other deeply. Now, that word deeply is a word that is translated from a Greek word that means to strain. It's an athletic term. What runners do at the end of the race, when the tape of the finish line is there, what do? They strain forward. They almost throw themselves at the finish line to be the first one to finish. So this we ought to be using that much effort in loving each other and caring for each other, because he says love covers over a multitude of sins. That doesn't mean that love covers them so that they're not there, but love has a way of dealing with them in a very special way so that they are covered. And then the third thing he tells them is stop complaining so you can share. In verse 9, stop complaining so you can share. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. You think, why would I grumble about hospitality? Oh my goodness. When I take the time to show hospitality to somebody else, it takes my time, it takes my energy, it takes my thought. If you invite someone over for dinner and you clean the house and cook the meal and plan something fun after the dinner, and then they leave and you think, why, I'm so tired. It's easy to find things to complain about, even with hospitality. But he says, stop complaining so you can share. I want to share with you. Some of you have shown hospitality just recently. Back on April 15th, we packed about 200 blessing bags full of blessing items that you've given away. And just in the past few weeks, I have received two thank you notes. Didn't expect to receive any. One looks like it's from a child. He says, dear friend, thanks for the blessing bag. I will use it happily. Thank you for thinking of me. You are very kind to me. One of you gave that to a child, and he actually wrote this note of thanks. And then the other comes from a woman. She says, I was the recipient of one of the bag goodies, and I wanted to say a big thank you. It was nice of you to think of some older people. I was out of toothpaste and could not get out to get any. It is rough when you don't have family and all your friends are gone. That toothpaste was a blessing. Thank you again. See there? We take so many things for granted. We ought to be showing hospitality without grumbling. We ought to be sharing with other people without grumbling. And then he says, number four, be a good sharer so you can praise God. Be a good sharer so you can praise God. In verses 10 and 11. Now, in our family, we talk about who is a good sharer. And we tried to raise both of our girls to be good sharers. But let me tell you, one of them, the one that's here this morning, Lauren, when it comes to food, she is not a good sharer. She always wants us to share with her, but she does not share with, just when, now she'll share other things, but not when it comes to food. Some of you are like that too, I know. But we need to be a good sharer so that we can praise God. Peter says that's the way it works in the church. God has given each of you a gift. You say, oh, I can't do it. Yes, each of you has been given a gift. Now use it. And if you're not using it, guess who loses out? You lose out by not using it, and then we lose out by you're not sharing it with us. So be a good sharer so you can praise God. And then at the end, what does he say? What does all this lead to? He says, do all of this so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That's what our life is supposed to be for. What's the chief end of human beings? Why are we here? What's our purpose? It's to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. That's your simple sermon. Time got short and the sermon got simplified. Let us pray. Oh Lord, the time is short. it might be for us in our lives more than we realize, or even at that, time passes so quickly that it's shorter than we realize. So help us to live today as if it's our last day. Help us to do all the things that Peter told us in this passage, that you might be glorified, and help us to do them while we can, because, Lord, not one person in this room knows how short that time might be. So help us not to be lazy and sit back, oh, I'll let somebody else do that, oh, I'll do that later, I'll do that another time. No, now is the time, because the time is short and the end of all things is near. Lord, I pray a special blessing this day for all the mothers who are here today and the hard work that they do in being a mother. But I pray also for those for whom Mother's Day is a challenge. Maybe they've lost a mother that they love dearly. Maybe they don't have a mother that they can love. Or maybe they wish they were a mother. Whatever the situation might be, Lord, if this is a day that brings pain into someone's heart in this place, I pray for comfort and encouragement. Lord, help us to share your love with them this day, that they may know that they are not forgotten. For we make all our prayers in and through our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us give thanks to God and the gifts that we present now to God's glory. Lord, may we be willing to share our love all around with each other, that you might be honored and glorified. Take these gifts and use them for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Now and forevermore.